As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
On the Beefs, the only place to read your emails and your tweets. This is the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, February 24th. Still, I'm J.E. Skeets. Alongside me, Mr. What You Need to Know himself, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Top Shot hot boy looking extra hot today. Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo. Hey-yo. The international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Apologies for starting a little bit later in the day. Hope we didn't screw anything up for you. Please like, comment, and subscribe, though. And let's just get right into this task. We got to hook people right away, man. What's this first question? I hope it's good. I don't want people going anywhere, man. Let's do it.
No way. Listen, we were late. We had an important meeting, and the person told us, start with something good. Okay. So here we go. Hey, No Dunks. There's a general consensus that Mike Conley is the best player to never make the All-Star game, and that it strangely might have hurt his legacy if he was selected as an All-Star this year. That got me wondering, who is the best player to make only one All-Star game, ignoring active players who are likely to be selected again in the future? I'll note that there are several one-time All-Stars who are in the Hall of Fame, but they are well before my time. Roast beef, curly fries, awesome. That's from John, writing from Philadelphia. Is that a good enough intro? Have we been hooked?
Am I hooked? Hook 'em. You said Mike Conley. I immediately went, oh, God, not again. And then I went, Mike Conley? Is he the greatest player to never make an All-Star game? What about Rod Strickland, Lee? What about Rod? No, this is a great question. I love this, Lee. One-time All-Star. Mm. Not zero-time like a Conley or Strickland. Did you put the homework in here? Did you do your stuff?
I think I did. Because John said there are several one-time All-Stars in the Hall of Fame. Well, I only found two. Calvin Murphy and Vlade Divac are the only Hall of Famers with one All-Star appearance that I found. I'm not saying my methodology.
Yes, so I love it.
How much effort did you put in?
Well, I went to Wikipedia, went to NBA Hall of Famers, and then I just control F'd All-Stars, All-Star.
Okay.
And I just went through each single one, 12-time, 11-time, 10-time. Then it would just say All-Star, All-Star. So
all right.
I think I only found two. I mean, I wasn't expecting to find that many, to be honest with you.
No, that'd be very weird. Calvin Murphy was only a one-time All-Star.
In 1979, Calvin Murphy, and Vlade in 2001.
Okay.
So I think Andre Iguodala will be the third player to join that list.
Nice one.
Good one, mate. Yeah. You hooked me now.
Well, numbers alone won't get him in because he's not a huge stat stuffer out there, but he's a three-time champ. He's a finals MVP. He's a two-time all-defense. He's a world champion, and he's an Olympic gold medalist.
Hmm.
But I think, you know, being connected there to the Warriors, of course, that first championship where he was finals MVP, the rare sort of non, you know, star to win the finals MVP, I think that that will carry some weight. I think he has just the respect sort of vote that, you know, he was an a starter who moved to the bench as well. I mean, I think the people will sort of respect and appreciate that about him. Who knows how the voters are going to go? But I think Andre Iguodala does have enough to get into the Hall of Fame. So I think he will be, because Vlade's numbers didn't knock your socks off either.
He had the international play.
Exactly.
Yeah. The international guys. There must be some. I just looked it up. Arvydas Sabonis never made an All-Star game, but is in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah. You know, international. Yeah. I got a question, Lee. Was that your ring that went off? Like your ring door that went off?
It was.
That was the and chime.
I've got my phone. Maybe I don't have it on silent. Anyway, it goes off now. I mean, I think I told you guys, they cut a tree down out the front of our house. So now every time a car goes past, Rick, someone's out the front. No, they're not. I had a guy walking his dog on the other side of the road there at like 3 a.m. the other day. I'm like, okay, Ring, I don't need you to be that sensitive.
That's so weird too, because you're like, your door is like up the stairs and like set pretty far back from the road.
Yeah, but I guess if there's just any movement in that range there, it just picks it up there.
Oh, man, it's squirrel season, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
But listen, anyway, I did a little more research here. And as far as the best performance by a one-time All-Star goes, I'm going with Dale Ellis in 1989 in Houston, because he was a starter in the All-Star game, had 27 points on 12 for 16 in the West win. And this came the day after he became the first non-Larry Bird winner of the three-point shootout the day before. So Dale Ellis, one All-Star weekend. He certainly cashed in and made the most of it. And
Homer. Ellis, what a shock.
Yes.
Dickie's brother.
Yes, very much so a Homer pick. But, Dale Ellis had, like, for about 3 or 4 seasons there, he was a, you know, elite NBA player. And that was about it. Then, you know, he was a good player after that, but became more of a role player and bounced around a few teams. But 88-89, that was his time to shine. Just came after Xavier McDaniel for the Sonics made it the year before, and of course Big Tom in 1987. Tommy. So quite a little run there from the Sonics Big Three.
Yeah, I like that. So but you're ultimately saying the answer to John's question, you're going with Andre Iguodala
yes.
as a one-time All-Star, as the greatest one-time All-Star. Whether or not he makes the Hall of Fame, yeah, we've debated that a little bit, and you were saying you think he does. But then you're saying Dale Ellis has the best actual performance at the All-Star weekend.
For a one-time All-Star, yes.
For a one-time All-Star. Yes. All right. Well, just a little bonus answer there, too. Yes. John didn't even ask that question, but
no,
you threw it in there.
Did.
That was like the curly fries at the bottom of the bag.
Ooh.
Okay. Anyone, do you want to add anyone, Trey, or has our man Lee knocked this out of the park? Everybody's hooked. Now everybody's going to be with us.
I'm hooked. I'm 100% hooked.
Okay,
once you start talking about a hole in the roof, I'm in. But I did a little bit more research. There's a few more one-time All-Stars who made the Hall of Fame, mate. Don Barksdale. Fair enough, missing that one. Bill Bradley, that's a good one.
Ooh,
Nat Bradley. Clifton, Vlade Divac, like you said, Dan Issel, and Calvin Murphy. So
for me,
I personally got to say Dan Issel. Big Dan Issel head from Batavia, Illinois. One of the greatest Illinois boys out there. Nice gap-tooth smile, looking like David Letterman playing basketball, scoring points in the 1980s.
All right, what a start here. I love
Let me throw one name in there.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy.
Ron Artest met a world peace as one of the greatest one-time All-Stars ever, because his awards cabinet, it's fuller than Andre Iguodala's. 4-time All-Defensive Team, 1-time Defensive Player of the Year, made an All-NBA team, All-Rookie, it doesn't matter, and he was an NBA champ in 2010. Obviously got super derailed with the malice at the Palace. His career was on a different trajectory. He wouldn't have been a one-time All-Star if that didn't happen. Things just went differently. But, you know, sort of in the same vein, he was a perfect complementary player on a championship team with the Lakers. And, I think, I don't know. I think he would be perfect in today's NBA. He's like, his body reminds me of Zion Williamson. He doesn't have the hops of Zion Williamson.
No.
I was a Meta fan, and now, I also wanted to share it because he has changed his name yet again legally.
What?
Huh. Yeah, to Meta Sandiford Artest. That's his wife's last name. Sandiford is his.
Okay.
And he went back to Artest, so it's there's no world peace happening. It's Meta Sandiford Artest.
He went back to his name. He stuck with Meta though.
Yeah, he stuck with Meta.
Wow! Okay, didn't know that.
Yeah.
You guys, you know, going through this. Great idea for a future YouTube video or a segment or something. We go through like each number. So who's the greatest, you know, player to never make an All-Star team? Zero. So then we're debating that. Then one. Okay, is it Iguodala? Is it somebody else? Then two. Like, who's two? Is it Manu Ginobili off the top of my head? It's like, I'm sure there's others that could, you know, be included in the mix. We go three, we go four, we just make our way up, right? TK, would you click on that if you're watching on YouTube?
I'm hooked.
Okay,
call
good.
Me a big mouth Billy Bass because I'm hooked, Skeets. And we can go pretty deep. This is 20 videos in the series, right? We got we got the zero timers all the way to who, Kareem. Is he the number one at 19?
Mm.
The perfect 20 piece.
Okay.
Lee, I'm surprised. You had conversations with Derek Harper. He is in the conversation for the best zero time All-Stars.
Yes, he is, because James Donaldson, his Dallas Mavericks teammate, he made it in 1989. He's probably considered one of the worst players to make an All-Star.
Oh, there's another video right there. It writes itself. JD, don't go anywhere. Okay, we're going to be making a lot of YouTube videos tonight, my man. Got a lot of ideas bouncing around our head. We're seeing those subscription numbers go up. We're seeing those likes and those comments. Great. All right, great start. Next one here. Hey, no dunking guys. I was recently watching your weekly NBA Happy Hour and was quite confused when Lee joined and popped a bottle of Woodbridge wine. Couldn't stop thinking about how Lee has such a high bar for beer quality, but is perfectly fine with drinking the Bud Light of wine. I believe JD actually said this on the live stream that night. Personally, I'm okay with any beer, but when it comes to wine, I'd rather spend a little bit more money to get a quality bottle. I assumed Lee, with his aversion to Budweiser, would avoid Woodbridge, but was pleasantly surprised when he basically said, "That'll do." Is there something you assumed an NBA player would never do, but were pleasantly surprised when he ended up doing it? For me, Carmelo Anthony signing with the Portland Trailblazers and accepting a lesser role is the best example. Thanks. This is from a longtime fan of the show, Andy in Toronto. Yeah, Lee, you got a little bit of blowback for that that Woodbridge wine, that little mini bottle you had. And, you know, you can't drink the Bud or the Bud Light, but you can drink that swill.
First off, any bad wine is better than Budweiser. There is no comparison. Budweiser doesn't have a comparison in the alcoholic beverage industry. It stands alone on an island as the worst drink that's ever been invented. Now, the other thing is...
That's a YouTube video.
The other thing is here, you know... I join around 9:30, something like that, for the happy hour. And as John... Is his name John?
Andy.
Andy. Okay, Andy. As you should know, Andy, you know, when you drink, especially a bottle of red wine, if you're not going to sort of drink the whole thing, you know, it's a bit of a waste then, because you can save it. You can find these things that you put in there that sort of preserve the wine for the next day.
A cork?
But but once you open a bottle of red, you're much better off just getting through the whole thing. Now, I'm not going to sit there and knock off a bottle of wine by myself with my friends here, like a whole bottle. I'm just not going to do that at 9:30 at night. Matthew Walker would be incensed with me for drinking that much red wine before going to bed. So instead, I'm like, okay, I'll meet the guys halfway here. I'll have a nice little single bottle of red by myself and enjoy it. Now, it's got a cap on it. It's got a lid on it. You know, it's I'm screwing off the lid. So I'm not exactly there going, this is a 2003, you know, something from the Bordeaux region of France. You know, it's like, I'm just trying to have a drink with my friends. That's all it is. A small bottle works for the occasion. It's kind of like being on an aeroplane and they bring out the wine. No one's going, oh, can I see your wine list? You're on an aeroplane. Just drink what they've got. It's fine.
Wow.
Red wine. It's very hard to make an awful red wine, and Woodbridge is not awful. It's not the best. It's not the best, but it's not the worst. So, you know, there's my retort to you, Andy. Andy. Okay.
Andy just wanted you to be a little buzzed.
Toy Story.
Trey, what's your answer for the question? Because it was a question within this whole
thing. Let me just say, great question by John. Thanks for sending this one in, John. For me, I'm a sucker, man. When LeBron was first going to be leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers for the Miami Heat in 2010, I thought, there's no way this guy is leaving the Heat. Leaving the Cavs? Are you kidding me? It's LeBron James. People come to him. Guess what? He left. Dan Gilbert wrote his letter in Comic Sans. Everybody got very angry about it. LeBron was a villain for a little bit, but then he became a hero after he won the championship two times. So when it was time for LeBron to be a free agent again in 2014, two-time champion, appeared in the finals again, four straight finals appearances, I thought, oh, There's no way LeBron James is leaving the Miami Heat to go back to the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's no way he's going to go play for Dan Gilbert again after that letter he wrote. Guess what? LeBron went and played for Dan Gilbert in Cleveland and won a championship. So when Kevin Durant came to be a free agent in 2016, finally I said to myself, there's no way he leaves the Thunder. Absolutely no way he went to the Warriors. They won championships. He didn't quite get to the hero level that LeBron James did. So when he was a free agent again, and there was finally a chance for him to go to the Brooklyn Nets, I thought, it's happening this time. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, also shame on me. Fool me three times, super shame on me. Not a fourth time, though. It's not happening a fourth time.
That's right. Draws the line. That's right. It's a good one. For me, I remember, it's on record. I mean, we did a million shows. I'm definitely, when he was back in Cleveland and had brought them the title, I'm like, there's no way LeBron is going anywhere this time. Okay, he's back in Cleveland. He's got a title. He's done. He's going to stay there. People will come to him. Yeah, exactly. And of course, then he goes to LA. I was on record. I had dug my heels on and dug my heels in on that one. I didn't think that was gonna happen. So that was my answer for this.
Hey man, no way he's leaving the Lakers though, am I right? No way. Yeah. No
way. There
chance.
Is no way he's leaving the Lakers. You can lock it in. If he goes back to Cleveland again.
It depends where Bronny gets drafted, really, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, true. True. It might come
well,
into play.
Well, Kevin Durant's an interesting one. Is there any way he's ever leaving Brooklyn? I mean, I am pleasantly surprised that he's in Brooklyn right now and they built a little super team around him and that he didn't go to New York MSG into Manhattan. Instead, he's in Brooklyn because, yeah, spread the wealth around. Maybe Kevin Durant would be great by himself, but I'm glad they have a super team because now there's a rival to the Lakers already. There are other teams that could come out of the East, but even though Kevin Durant to the Nets was definitely not on anyone's docket, like on our show, the consensus was the Knicks. It seemed like the consensus was the Knicks everywhere. It's cool that he's making Brooklyn cool. I guess Brooklyn was always cool, but it's still cool now.
Yeah, but I would not bet on Kevin Durant finishing his career with the Brooklyn Nets. I wouldn't bet on anybody finishing their career with whatever team they're on. Nobody. Because it almost like just doesn't happen anymore.
Steph, super rare.
Steph's a good one. Will Steph stay with the Warriors for his entire career? That's a great question.
I've got
point.
One guaranteed.
Okay.
Udonis Haslam.
Okay. God. See, now if I was watching this, I would have clicked away.
I'm out of here.
You ruined it, man. Everybody's gone.
Okay,
now.
Top 10 list of guys most likely to stay with their teams.
I like it. Curry is an awesome answer. I'll give you that.
Dame Lillard is a good one as well.
See,
JG.
But, I mean, we even say this, and I don't think I'd bet on it.
Yeah, because Steph's got the championships, whereas Dame may get to the Kevin Garnett situation, where he's I've given everything. Maybe it is time to be a bit more selfish. He always says the right thing. He says he doesn't want to do
that.
Yeah, sure.
He'd be on the list, though, if we were making the video, which we will later, JD. We're going to have to do that one. That one will probably be around 11 o'clock tonight, actually. We'll get to that one.
Yeah, we've been serving the morning audience mostly, so we're trying to tap into that late night one. Yeah. Another suggestion from the stream team, Giannis, obviously signed the big deal in the offseason to stick around there. I don't think he's a lock to stay in Milwaukee.
No way.
Klay Thompson,
I
think Klay Thompson could stay in Golden State. Man.
Anything could still happen.
Yeah. I like this idea. I hope somebody's writing this down out there. We got a lot of great video ideas, or at least segment ideas that we could...
We should stop giving them away for free on this live stream right now, though. He's going to launch their own channel and just explode.
Just to add this one, because I know we've talked about Karl-Anthony Towns not being happy with the Timberwolves, potentially moving on, but I did love this quote when he said recently... Loyalty is one of my biggest weaknesses.
Yeah, I like that too. I saw that.
So he might stick around because it's his weakness. But then is he focused on trying to make one of his weaknesses his strengths? So does he like stop being loyal?
Trying to get less loyal.
Mm. Yeah, try. Weird.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Next one. Hello, gentlemen. The other day I was reminded via NBA 2K of how good Tyreke Evans was as a rookie. This got me thinking about players other than Evans whose basketball peak was in their rookie year. Damon Stoudemire, OJ Mayo, and Terry Cummings are all guys who came to mind. Is there an experience in your life that peaked the first time you did it? Blast Pup, Greek Fries, Ty Lawson. Drop some feta on those fries. That's from Sam in Riverdale, Toronto, right beside Feta Town, right beside the Danforth in Toronto.
No, that was from John.
Thanks, John.
every email we get is just from John from now on.
I feel like our former friend at the Score, John Noon, lived by Danforth too. Is that possible?
Probably. Everybody. I guess it's possible, yes.
Or am I talking about... it doesn't matter. Moving on. Things that peaked the first time I did them.
Yeah.
A Zoom birthday party. Super pumped for a Zoom birthday party. This is going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
All these people interacting on one screen. And, you know, it just never goes. Never goes very well. But I've learned. Now my one-year-old had a birthday party a few weeks ago. We made it like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
I respected
bang,
that. Yeah,
bang.
Yeah.
Wow, but then my mother-in-law jumped on after, called me afterward and said, why did you end it? People are still there hanging out. Okay, go ahead. Hang out. But you just raised the bar. Too many expectations. Like, it's just... I mean, I get...
You guys were getting crazy, though, Tash. You had, like, correct me if I'm wrong, you had the computer, it felt like, and then you had, like, another phone. You had, like, a multi-camera shoot going on.
I had a two-computer shoot,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah,
I
it was did. Two comps, was it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. One was an iPad, probably. But, yeah I had multiple angles of my children's faces, so you could see
incredible.
Different parts of their face. This is the side of her forehead. This is the front of her forehead. For what reason? No reason at all. I just I overcomplicated things for absolutely no reason. But, you know, I think people have learned, like from my first birthday on Zoom, which was, I think, our friend Lisa and Daryl's little Naomi way back. Mm-hmm. And everybody was super pumped and staying there for a long time. And, you know, it was just getting a little too convoluted to now, you know, people take their turns talking. And realize there's a mute button. Like, people have gotten way better on Zoom over the last 12 months.
People have learned the technology a little bit. Yeah. The limitations of it, for sure.
Not me so much. I pull out as many computers as I possibly can.
Yeah, it was getting laggy over at your house.
Like, and it's just like, okay, there's... I see the name. Like, there's Tass, there's Danielle, but they're in the same room. What?
Yeah, it was confusing.
That's strange. But anyway.
That was next level thinking. I liked it was like, let's jump on, let's sing happy birthday. We're all out of sync because we're all like on like all these weird delays. Doesn't matter. Let's all smile. Let's see some candles blowing out. Yay, cheer. Okay, the kids are happy. All right, peace. Good to see you guys. I mean, also, I shouldn't say this because we Zoom once or twice a day with each other. The last thing I want to do is do another Zoom, but I get it for other people that aren't seeing others as much as we are. But that's a good one. For me, I'm going to go and experience my life that I think I peaked the first time doing it. I bet you a lot of people feel this way. Golf.
Golf.
Like,
golf.
I'm pretty good at picking up, you know, like sports, you know, like, again, that's not a humble brag. I'm just one of those people. It doesn't take me too long. I can figure out, okay, what are we doing here? I got to do this and this. All right, I'll figure it out by, you know, like a couple hours or whatever, less than that, whatever the game is. And golf, you know, I'm like, okay, sure, I can go swing this thing, hit this ball, put it in the hole. Sure. And I felt like I did all right. You know, you have a couple good swings. You're like, oh, man, I just crushed that thing. Or like, whatever, you hit a putt. And then the next time you do it, you're garbage. And it's the most frustrating sport in the world. I absolutely loathe it. I hate it. I'm never going to do it. I'm not going to become an old guy that golfs. I live right by a golf course. That's the ironic part now. I just hear all these like thwacks. I'm like, oh man, could have been me. But that, Lee, I know you've talked about it before, right? Like, you golf, like, you just like, first time you're out there, you're like, I don't know, whatever reason, maybe you're just not overthinking it. That's the other thing. You get everybody start going, oh, keep your head down, keep your arms, doing this, doing that.
Yeah,
and then I just start
the
like overthinking it. Yeah, just like, you know, Happy Madison, that bad boy. But,
you know. It's like
the production company, Adam
Billy,
Sandler's
Billy,
production
Billy.
Company.
Billy, no, I meant
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, yes.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Well,
I don't mean to brag. I'm pretty good at sports, but
I don't know movies.
Yeah, but the ball doesn't move. You hit it whenever you want. You can hit it as far and as hard as you want every single time, and it just drives you crazy because sometimes you'll just line one right down the middle of the fairway. And then you won't be able to hit that same shot for the whole rest of the time you're out there. But it's that one that just keeps you coming back. You're like, maybe I'm not too bad here at golf. But and it's also like 9 holes is not enough, but 18 is too many. It should be about 13 or 14. That's what it should be.
I will say, I will golf again, but I love the, what is it? The par 3 executive course. Like, that's my wheelhouse. Because you're right. 18's ridiculous. If you're garbage at golf, it's the, like, I mean, I'm drinking Woodbridge. I'm drinking 10 bottles of Woodbridge when I'm out there. Like, I might as well. I'm not having fun, you know, flubbing every second shot. It's so infuriating.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's, but what if a golf course was only 13 to 14 holes? That I love.
I tell you.
Too I'm short. I agree, but like 3.5 hours is long.
Yeah, I think there is a market there for that because you get to about the 14th hole and you're like, oh god, how many more? And there's like a par 5 to go, and you're just like, all right, I'm already at about 98 strokes right now. That's enough. Let's just go inside. Make it the front 7 and the back 7. Let's just do that. Make it 14th.
I'm sure
people would enjoy it more.
Whatever the number is to keep your stroke total under 100. That's the perfect number. Like, well, I guess that's like 5, 8. I don't know, I'm not going to do the math. But actually, I'm moving, and I have my golf clubs with me. I carry them with me for years, and I don't use them. Every time I move,
you've got them.
Danielle's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "You know, there's going to be that one time. There's going to be that one time I get out there, and that's I want a chip. I want my pitching wedge. It's going to be a 75 yarder, but I can't let him go because." I don't know. What are you going to do? Rent a set?
Well, that's what I've done.
Go into the Goodwill. I picked up some clubs in the Goodwill because people do. I like Tass, who have like got a pretty much a brand new set, hardly ever used them. And they're just like, you know what? I'm just going to give it to the Goodwill. You go in there like $20 and get a great set. So, yeah, that's where you do your shopping for golf clubs, because then if you don't like them, you can throw them in the lake on that round. You can bend them. You can, you know, you can damage them. And no, I only spent $20 on them, so who cares? It's not like you spent like $800 on that brand new pair, and you got the little socks that go over the clubs as well. You're just like, nah.
You can buy that set of clubs going, I only need 14 holes out of this. Not even going to use half of these. Chuck these in the river right away. I told Nora did that a long time ago back in Toronto when she was in marketing, and like, you know, there was the golf trip, and she went and did it the first time. And it was one of those things, again, like, she was like, I think I might be good at golf. And I was like, be careful. I don't know. That's what golf does. Golf gets you that way. Like, I know you I'm sure you actually were, but I'm telling you, don't go all in. Like,
don't do it. It's a gateway sport. Don't do it.
She bought a brand new set of golf clubs. I said, hey, go nuts. It's obviously your money. And she went a second time and hated it. It was absolutely horrible. Those I don't think ever got used again. I think they did get probably given to the Goodwill or maybe sold online or something.
I might have bought them. I may have picked those.
Were they pink? Yeah, yeah. I think you did. Do you have an answer for this one, Leland?
Well, I would say watching movies in 3D, because I think the first time I watched it, you remember they peaked around, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, everything was in 3D.
Yeah.
And I went and watched the Lego movie with my son, who was, I guess, you know, 3 or so at the time, put the glasses on. And the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, yeah, this is pretty cool. Then I think you just forget that you're watching it in 3D. It's just like a normal movie. And I went back and watched, I think, one of the Star Wars movies with him. I have no idea which one it was, you know, because they were just pumping those out every other year as well. And I remember halfway through it, sort of just taking them off, and it's a bit fuzzy. And then I put them back on, and like, this is just actually an annoying experience. So, like, just get rid of the 3D. Just go back to normal movie stuff. And
is 3D still around? I know it's a weird time for movies. Yeah. A lot of people like, but you are right. There was a, you know, sweet spot there for everything was in 3D. Did it go away? I don't know.
It feels like, I don't see it promoted as much, but then again, the last 12 months is probably not a good example. Because,
also, we don't want to be, I was going to say, sharing glasses or stuff like that. I know that they clean them and, right, you drop them in the little box and they wash them.
Yeah, I think you, me, and Matt went and saw The Martian together, remember?
What? We did?
I'm pretty sure we did, yeah.
I remember this.
I think I'm pretty sure you, me, and Matt saw that, The Martian, and I don't know if that was in 3D
Matt Damon
or not,
when he's growing potatoes?
I know, what an incredible
grew himself a potato. Shout out to Gourmet Spot. Maybe we might have. That's a weird threesome, I gotta be honest. You, me, and Matty O going to catch a movie.
I mean, I think Nora was there too, but I think we might have watched that in 3D, but who knows now? I'm not sure.
Want me to go ask Nora?
Yeah, ask her. She'll probably remember.
I'll text her.
text her. Ask her what she shot her first time golfing as well. By the way,
I got a lot of things to ask her. We should just get her on here. Anybody else got an answer? Sorry, I lost
my only question. Having heard Lee's answer, Skeets, I feel like our buddy Grish had a 3D TV at one point in time. At the very least, they made 3D TVs.
That does sound right.
I feel like I consumed a 3D TV piece of content only once. That never took off at home. At least in the movie theater, there were several movies that were in 3D. You thought, okay, that makes sense. It'll start happening at your home place, but not so much. Not so much at all. You got to have the headset, I guess, is the problem.
What did you do with your glasses, Lee, with your 3D movie at The Martian? I don't remember. Like, were they the ones that could go over your glasses?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. I think so. I think so. But I think there's just that little, they want you to throw them in the, you know, the bin thing on your way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because there's no real need for them otherwise. So I think they have a pretty high, retention rate of them, wouldn't they? Because, you know, it's not like you're getting a cool pair of glasses to wear to just drive around in or anything like that. So.
Well, I bet you like the first 3D movie, people were stealing those because they're like, I'm taking these. Like,
yeah.
It seemed cool to steal them. Or yeah. I'm taking them home with me. But then you're right. As we saw more and more 3D movies come out, you're like, this is the system. I'm fine with it. Why do I need these otherwise? Like Trey said, it's not like I need them at home.
Yeah.
You know, we thought this was going to pop off at home, but I don't need them. So yeah. 90% of them replaced back in that blue receptacle.
So. Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Same with the solar eclipse glasses. If you've ever gone to an event where you watch solar eclipse, they hand them out. I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to keep these.
Yeah.
What the hell's the point?
Yeah, of keeping them? There's no reason. No. There's no reason.
Same with my Samsung TV 3D glasses. I have glasses where you have I have a feature that you can flip it over to 3D. I guess if there's options. I guess if its show is in 3D. But that's one other thing I'm hoarding. I never flip it to 3D. And I have the glasses, which are, you know, a little bit more high quality than the ones you'll get at a movie theater. But I have those too if anybody wants them. Or maybe I'll take them to Goodwill. I don't know.
Put them in the golf cart zipper when you get rid of your golf club.
You can always find some good stuff in those pockets.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to ask one more thing. I guess 3D is for kids, really, when I think about it too. Like, we didn't have 3D when we were kids, but. I don't know. I guess your kid watching Lego, like, that's cool. The things look like they're coming at you. Like, you reach out and touch it.
Wasn't Jaws 3 in 3D, like, back in the 80s? That was one that launched it?
Now I don't know. I don't know. I guess I didn't go to a lot of movies.
Oh, here we go.
It was. It was in 3D.
And was it amazing? Sure. Like, did you feel like you were getting eaten by the shark?
No. Well, I mean, at the time, people, you know, this was back in 1942, so everybody was amazed by everything. A lot of people going...
Yeah.
Right.
Reaching out for it.
And me just going, come on, guys. It's 3D.
Focus on the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The shark. It's coming at you.
It's just bells and whistles to distract you from the crappy script. You're right.
That's right.
Okay. Next one. Greetings, no hunks. The last Raptors game I went to was in December 2019 with my wife and a couple of diehard Raptor fan friends of ours. Unbeknownst to us, our tickets were above the last row of seats in the standing section. Our friends texted some season ticket holders who were also at the game and found out that there was a group of four empty seats next to them in the lower bowl. We waited until the end of halftime to join the crowds, retaking seats, and snuck into the lower bowl. The enjoyment of the game was tempered by the fear of us getting caught. We thought we were going to get away with it until midway through the fourth quarter, this couple came looking for their seats, and we hastily departed while trying not to look embarrassed. My question for you guys. How long into a game should a ticket holder have to get their seat? Love the show. Turn around. Bright eyes fall apart. That's from Bobo in Vancouver. Wow. Canada coming through. I mean, sorry, John in Vancouver. Thanks, John. Coming through. Thanks, John. With the emails. We've debated this before, at least way back in the day, Tass, when we were, you know, season ticket holders way up in the nosebleeds and like the moving down and when do you move down? When should a person have to give up their seat? What do you think? What's your answer? How long does someone that owns that lower bowl seat get it? Or should it come, free to everybody else at some point in the game?
Well, yeah, I think it goes both ways, John Bobo. I think you can go down at any time you see fit. If it's midway through the first quarter, if you want to be that wild, I mean, it's a little too early for my taste. Mm-hmm. But if you see it open for an extended period of time, I say, you know, the crazies will go midway through the first quarter. You want to sneak down. You know, if you have taste like you do yourself, halftime, that makes sense. Sneak mm-hmm. down. But the person who holds the seat can come for the buzzer beater, and you got to get the heck out. Like, if they don't show up for the entire game and they show up with 18 seconds left and Jose Calderon's about to pot a huge game-winning shot, you got to get the heck out. And you don't have to feel bad about it. You don't have to feel weird or strange about it. You made a good move. You made a smart move. It's like you went to the Goodwill and you got a hole in one. You bought the cheap seats and you got to sit down low for three quarters and almost four quarters of a game or whatever. So, you know, it's both ways. I say the best result for everybody is that seat gets used, gets occupied, you know, for the biggest majority or for the largest majority of the game. So that's what it comes down to. You don't got to feel bad about that. Nobody has to feel bad about using a chair. You're using a chair that's just empty. But get the heck out when somebody shows up as well, and don't make it awkward.
But that's why there should be a system, especially in today's world, with all of this on your phone, within an app. If I am a season ticket holder up in the nosebleeds, and I am there, and at a certain point, whatever you want to call it, at the end of the third quarter, 6 minutes to go in the game, whatever it is, whatever you want to determine, I think... Because you're trying to help the home team and you should have, yeah, more, like, obviously people down there and people into the game, as many people as you want, full seats and all that. At a certain point, if that season ticket holder hasn't, like, checked in and whatever it is, like a click of a button or something like that, they're not in their seat, then it should be, like, free reign. It should be, like, I should get an alert up in the nosebleeds. Hey, this seat, you're here. Go on down. It's yours now. I love that. I think that, why not? At a certain point, like you said, you'd come at the buzzer beater. Come on, what were you doing? You were just you're down in the, you're just enjoying the free food and all
you
that
know.
That you paid for.
You don't know.
Well, you don't know. You're right. They're just
maybe you have trapped wind like Lee Ellis. You have trapped wind and you were just released from the hospital mere minutes before the buzzer beater. But to make yourself happy after having that tumultuous experience of trapped wind, you want to go see a basketball game.
Okay, there's a trapped wind safety valve, built into the app. Yeah, that you can click. I have trapped wind. I will not be making it until the end of the third quarter. Otherwise, I think what Bobo's getting at here, something that allows fans that are already there, I'm not even talking about people outside the arena. I'm talking about people that are already there to move down and occupy those better seats. Trey, what say you?
For me, if I'm trying to move up into a seat, I'm starting my move 3 or 4 minutes into the third quarter. You know, you've had a long time to get there. You've probably had an hour and a half of real time to come and get your seats. But like Tass, I'm also saying, if you come back with 1 minute left in the fourth quarter, I got to move. However, if I am the season ticket holder and I'm coming down for a buzzer beater with 1 minute left, I'm stealing somebody else's seat.
That's what
it's going to be for me. I'll see somebody sitting in my seat, be like, okay, charge it to the game. I'll go sit over here somewhere else. I'll watch the buzzer beater. You know, it's kind of like paying it forward with regards to stolen seats. So that's how it would go for me. But I mean, if you're putting the money up for your seats, you can come get it anytime you want. Just don't eat all the burgers, you know. Come watch the
game a little bit. Yeah.
Contribute a little.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, Lee, what do you think?
Well, that's a problem at the Fortress. If you go and order the flatbread pizza, it can take up to a quarter. So people might think you've taken off, but you're actually just waiting for your pizza there. But honestly, if I was a team owner, I would want those seats in the lower bowl full.
Right.
And if after the first quarter people aren't there, there should be something on your app say, yep, it's vacant, I'm not going to sit there. So then other people within, it's almost like upgrading on an aeroplane. You know, it's other people who are in the arena. It's like, if you're a season ticket holder in the uppers, you can just go downstairs and fill that seat. I think it just looks better. Mm-hmm. And it would encourage people as well to go to games, because it's like, listen, we might be able to sit in the lower bowl for only purchasing upper bowl seats, because then the more the game goes on, it's like, yeah, all these seats are vacant, so go and fill them up. I mean, I don't see what harm it does. It's not like you know, you're always getting free food and free drink in those seats. It's like, just you're closer to the action and the arena looks fuller and it can create a better atmosphere. So why not do it?
Okay. might be something there. Let's hear what the people think in the stream team and the YouTube comments. Tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. I think there's something there. You're right. I don't think you could have a. It's not like you know, you have those lower seat bowls seats, Lee, and then you're not going to make the game. And at the end of the third quarter, it's like it can't. The alert can't go to everybody, of course, right?
No,
the
but you go on a,
everybody's rushing, but it just goes to like whoever
a waiting list or something
yeah,
like
exactly.
that. You're just like Top Shot. You're in the way. Oh, you're in the queue. And it's like, okay, do you
ain't
want
ever
this?
Moving down.
Well, it's, do you want this seat down here? And you just go yes or no. Boom, yes, you go down and sit in it. I mean, we've got the technology to do that. Mark Cuban, he's right up to date with all that
stuff.
Mark
Cuban.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, teams do that. The bad teams that have nobody sit in their lower bowls, they do that. They say, hey, come on down.
Yeah.
We need people
the Raptors
down
never
here.
Never encourage that when they suck, though.
No, they didn't suck that, but at least they were selling seats. They were selling seats in the lower bowl.
I've been there.
Hornets,
been
the Hornets have done it.
They, well, this is the issue, though. The team doesn't care. That seat's sold.
As long as it's sold, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, whatever. I mean, it's better that you're not here eating all the burgers and popcorn. You're doing us a favor. you know, your seat's empty, so it's not a good look, but what do they care? They're just cashing the checks, right? They're counting money. But for the overall product or just the vibe of the game, yeah. And just encouraging people, like somebody said here already, like, yeah, you might be sitting up there in the nosebleeds, but there's a possibility you get a little alert on your phone that you might be moving down to section whatever 112.
Wow.
Shut up to 112. Yeah,
Club One Tweezy.
Hear me if you sing. Yeah, exactly.
All this app talk. I see some comments in the stream team about blockchain. You guys are in that world, the Top Shot world. Yeah. And here's a question about it. If you had to choose one NBA moment from this season to get added to NBA Top Shot, which would it be? Roast beefs count as an answer, TK. love your show, guys. Watching it from Italy, Stefano. Thank you, Stefano, for the email. Top Shot moment that should be added from this season.
Italian John.
Stefano, Italian for John.
What do you think, Trey?
We got to have a wedgie pack. Come on, Top Shot. However many wedgies we get for the season, you're getting that many serial numbers of each wedgie. So if we have 56 wedgies, there's 56 of each of the 56 wedgies. The valuable numbers would then become the number one serial number and whatever the wedgie number is. If it's 33, you'll want to get 33. Since we were early to the game, Skeets, we're going to be hosting the live pre-show for the drop of this pack, and they're going to pay us in Top Shot. They're just going to give us these wedgie Top Shots, and we decide if we're going to hold them in our crypto wallets forever or if we're going to unleash them onto the marketplace. Nice. I think this is an actually great idea.
Yep. Cosign. I'm in, man. Give me create these wedgie moments, Top Shot moments, and give me a couple to help help host the pre-show. In, where do you want me to sign? I love it. Lee, you were talking about dibs on Top Shot moments on today's Daily Show. Is there, forget the wedgies, because that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
We're all on board with that. That's we love it. Is there an actual play? You got a Campazzo play that you want to see as a Top Shot?
Well, you have several Facundos. But listen, does Luka's two threes count as one Top Shot, or is it two individual Top Shots there? I mean, you guys are the Top Shot masters. It would be two. You maximize the revenue there. I'm just thinking, like, because it came so close together, they were so crucial for the game, the result. Maybe you just want to package up. Maybe that's another way they can expand the Top Shot brand. You know?
Yeah, but that's I was thinking about that too. That's a slippery slope there for Top Shot, right? I was thinking Russell Westbrook missed that free throw and he's staring at the rim. Can you almost break it up into two moments? Like just the stare. At some point, does NBA Top Shot just sell the stare, or this? You can just buy the stare. Like, but then it's a slippery slope. It's like, is everything and everything, you know? And then it just becomes.
You gotta pick or choose for sure.
I mean, the plays make sense, but I just want the stare sort of.
Well, I heard, I hope I have this right. I think it was the first Mint podcast. They were talking about other things that it would be cool to see momentize, or whatever you want to call it, in the Top Shot world. What about things with fans? What about the classic doinker to the lady with the glasses? Like her face going crazy. And what about the fan with LeBron when he hit the half court shot? Remember? And the fan hit the half court shot and LeBron celebrating and stuff like that. And I thought it was an interesting, I love the idea. I'd be like, oh, those are cool moments. Would you have to get the fans to okay those moments, or because they are in an NBA environment, they're, you know, when it's probably on your ticket somewhere, yeah, right? That you're sort of signing away your own rights there, your own. Yeah. I don't know. I think those would be cool too, something like that. Man, the doinker would be awesome.
You can't make it a gimmick though. You can't go that way. You can't go that route. It's just like what you were talking about skates the other day. Like, let's just shoot for it instead of having a jump ball. Like, you don't want it to be the XFL. You know, you don't want Top Shot to go down the gimmick road. Then your stuff's not gonna be worth anything.
Well, but it's only, I mean, if people want it, then it's worth something. And if there's only so many of them, then it's gonna have value.
That's the plan, but it might just become a joke.
I hear what you're saying. You can cheapen the whole concept by having too many plays.
Exactly.
But I'm not too concerned about that. Yeah. I love the Luka one, Lee. I think you would just go with the game winner that we just saw. Maybe it's just fresh in mind, but top of mind. Fresh in mind, top of mind.
I mean, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to put the other one in because it's not the game winner, but it was such an incredible play as well. You think people would still love that, wouldn't they? You know, but it got one up to like 10 seconds later. So, you know, it's like, oh, what are you doing?
Dude, I got a Kem Birch putback dunk, man. Like, people...
I don't know what you do with that. I don't know what you do with that. Do you keep that? Do you sell it? Do you hold on to it? Do you throw it back in the pile like a poker game?
You think
game?
I'm putting a good Canadian boy back on the marketplace? Crazy, man.
You keep it for your Canada exhibit.
Canadian collection, Tass. That's exactly right. I got a Wiggins layup.
Keep it for the X.
Trying to get myself a Murray. Well, Murray's problem, he's too good. It's tough to get him now. I should have got him a long time ago. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next question. There are so many things I wish we could have both ways. For example, a zero-calorie cheeseburger. How about red wine without the headache? A dog that never poops. That'd be heaven. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords, stiff chinos, rather than effortless comfort. But it's possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. I'm sorry, Don Draper. This is 2024. I want to look good and feel comfortable. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I got a little bit of everything. The Air Knit boxer briefs are so good. The Ace sweatpant, mad comfy, but also great tailored fit. And because this is the summer of Henleys, yeah, I'm calling it, it's the summer of Henleys, you know I threw a few of them in my virtual shopping cart. Peacocking is for the birds, baby. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. They're not flashy, just classic. Sort of like a No Dunks podcast. Always in style, always crazy comfortable. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, Mo Spunks. Long time, first time. I ordered your new Oakland themed tee. Was JD wearing that or am I crazy? Someone was wearing it,
I do believe you were right.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Nice. I'm noticing things. Okay. So this person, let's just call him John, bought this Oakland themed tee, some shorts too, both cracking. Oh, is that just John? All right. And I was so pleased with it, I thought I'd share it on an IG story. This is Paul, by the way, not John. I'm really running with that bit. And tag you guys in it for the culture. So Paul did this, / John, and you know, he casually watches our stories over the afternoon, anticipating the reshare. Nothing. Other people's purchases were getting OPP. That's tough to say. We're getting blasted, but I couldn't see my own efforts. Checked again the next morning. Nothing. Why was I not worthy? This is Paul writing this, guys. Was it something I said? Something I did? Why was I not being loved? I began cursing your names. These guys don't appreciate their fans. These guys think they're big time now. should I burn their jersey? I guess t-shirt in this case. I finally realized that private profiles can't have their stories reshared, and I have to keep mine private because of work. When's a time you held an unnecessary, imaginary grudge against someone slash something, only to feel guilty for doing so afterwards because you realized you were in the wrong? Sun's up, late moonrise, blossom. P.S. Love and appreciate what you do. Scotland doesn't get much basketball content, and you've kept me in the loop for years and years. Thanks, from Paul, which, as we all know, in Scotland is actually just John. Yeah, guys, I've seen this happen before. Someone was like, I thought you guys reshared everything. You know, I bought your shirt. I've wrote somebody back. I don't know about you guys. I'm like, we can't, man. You're private. We can't blast that.
Can't, man.
Yeah. So make sure if you want us to share it, you got to have your Instagram account, not private. So, Paul, I guess he said for work, so I guess we're not going to be resharing it. But Trey, do you have an answer for that crazy question that he had there?
Well, Skeets, I've had to tell my mom so many times, like, Mom, first and foremost, you're texting me a picture of you wearing our merch, just in a text message. I'm not going to put it up. Also, B, I'm not putting up a picture of my mom to these weirdos out there. Oh, Bobby. Oh, shit, Bobby. Anyways, for me.
Bobby from Vancouver. Oh, that was Bobo.
Thanks for the email, Bobby. I honestly don't have the focus or the passion for grudges, unless I do, in which case I am laser focused on this grudge. I've been holding one for about 7 years. At this point, I don't think that this man knows the grudge is still going on. But I got a major grudge with Michael Rapaport. Major grudge.
Good.
I haven't watched a movie with Michael Rapaport in it in such a long time, which is pretty easy because he never makes movies anymore. Remember when Michael Rapaport was in things? I don't. Anyways, what did we do wrong? Said too many stats on a basketball show. Sorry for talking about stats on a show about scoring points, bud.
Yeah, so what, did he take to Twitter or his own show? I don't remember.
It was on a podcast. He was on his own podcast,
But I bumped into him at the finals and he turtled. He turtled in a second.
Oh.
He was like, love the show, you guys. I've got the clip there somewhere, but I went straight up to him. I saw him there. Immediately, he was just like, oh, hey, man.
Oh, Lee Ellis was ready to snatch a chain. Dickie style. Hey, Rapaport, come here. Yeah. So maybe he just caught one show he wasn't loving there that particular day. Too many stats. Mm. But otherwise, he's a fan. Okay, good one. That's Trey Kirby holding the grudge for sure.
That's a good one.
Wow. You got one, Tess?
That was deep. That was deep in the archive. That's a good
one. I think
we
all have that grudge.
Yeah,
bit,
for sure.
It's reignited. I love it.
It did. It brought back some fire, no doubt.
Man, what the hell?
Hey, guys, just keep doing what you're doing and not watching Michael Rapaport. It is so easy. So easy.
I'm sure it is.
I have one today. I mean, I'm not going deep here, but I'm keeping it a little current. I was in my car today. I was making a right turn into heavy traffic, and it was a huge lineup. But you know how somebody's often quite nice and just lets you in, right? Mm-hmm. And so the driver let me in, and you know how you often get a hand signal from the driver. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. This is my problem with that person. Even though they're being nice, they didn't move their whole hand to push me in. They just moved their fingers like they were calling a dog. I'm not with that. You know, just what is that? I'm not at your beck and call. Like, if you're going to start it like that and be a weirdo, like, you know, it's like a gun motion, but you have to, that's fine, but you have to move your whole
hand.
Whole hand, you know, do whatever you want with your hand, but move your whole hand. That's the key to this. And it should just be an open hand. But if you're a weirdo, you know, like,
yeah, okay, you want the full, like little, like wave through. Come on.
Yeah. Anyways, this is what the person did to me. And I held a grudge for at least 5 minutes where I was like, okay, he did let me in, but it's like, he wanted the power of the situation. Yeah. Freddie got fingied for sure. Tassie got fingered, no doubt. There's no, like,
Michael Rapaport's in that movie. It's in 3D.
Anyway. Use your hand. It was nice. And listen, I always love a good thank you with headlights or brake lights. That's cool. That's super duper cool. But just keep it going. Like, you're a third base coach, you know?
So,
you
right, know, right.
Yeah. That's a microaggression. That's right, JG in the stream team. That's it. Yeah, that's my newest grudge. I couldn't come up with the Michael Rapaport. That one's a grudge. That's a beaut. That's a beaut right
that
there.
That one, he's living, you know, rent free in our head still. Okay, guilty, guilty.
Yeah, it seems like he's maybe over it.
So I don't think he had any clue who he was. To be honest, too, no idea who you were, what show you were on. He's just like, yeah, okay, a fan. This guy likes my movies. But Lee, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I don't usually go to the block button on Twitter. I prefer to go to the mute button. But, you know, over the course of, you know, the last 7, 8 years or whatever, I've realized I've been blocked by 4 NBA players.
Oh.
Now, I suspect it's because of Tweet of the Week, because people would often tag me in and tag in these other people, and they would think it was some sort of derogatory thing. I think that's all I can really think of, because there's no real reason why otherwise they would block me. But I know... In ascending order, James Flight White, he's blocked me. I mean, I've never said anything nasty about him.
Well, you probably said he had a very solid play, and he's like, I don't want very solid plays. I'm a high flyer.
I mean, I just don't think he would have had a very solid play. He barely played. He barely got on the court. Marco Bellinelli. Okay. Okay, oh, Bellinelli. Wow. Yeah, you've frustrated me a few times. So I can probably, maybe, I don't know. I don't really know.
Check the tweets. He's got receipts, I bet.
JaVale McGee has blocked me as well. Now, again, I suspect because for a while there, he was often in Tweet of the Week or you know, people just say, look, JaVale's saying something
worst
crazy.
Worst of the week or
yeah, all that stuff. So I think that. And then Karl Malone has also blocked me, the deliverer. Now, you know, as I say, I'm not...
That's because you asked him to sign a T-shirt.
I know, and that's the funny thing. That's the funny thing. That's a weird one. But like I say, I just don't normally block people. But all those 4, I've blocked them all. I'm like, all right, you want to block me?
You blocked them? You grudge blocked them?
Grudge blocked. Even took Bellinelli on Instagram and said, you're out of here on Instagram too.
Wow.
Wow. Well, the full block. That's serious, man.
And I'm like, you know what? I don't know why you blocked me. Now, you will never know why I blocked you. You won't know if it's a grudge block unless you're tuning in today. Maybe they are. But it's one of those things. It's like, if I block me, all right, I'll block you then.
Oh, block me, block you.
Sounds like a video. All the players that have blocked us on Twitter.
Yeah.
And get their story of like, what was it? What was the reason? I remember a long time ago I had figured out that Lou Williams blocked me, and I couldn't for the life of me, because I was like always talking up Lou Williams. I was a huge Lou Williams fan. But something I must have. But you're right. It's sometimes, is it really something you've said or tweeted, or it's like the classic people tagging you in it, and you just sort of get caught in the crossfire of someone being upset, and like, who knows? I have no clue. But now I want to do a deep dive and find out what other NBA players.
Well, it's hard because you can't actually find out unless, like, you know, you're just clicking through. And that's how I found out about JaVale McGee. Someone sent a tweet and I clicked on it. It was like, you've been blocked. Yeah. You can't view a tweet. So I'm like, JaVale, come on, my man. What?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on?
I think Jalen Rose also had blocked me at one point, too. And I think I even asked Jacoby, like, what's going on, man? why did Rose block me? I'm trying to find out. What did I say?
And then he blocked you? He's like, why are you asking?
I think I was half joking. I also don't follow, like, does it matter, like, if you follow the players and stuff like that, Lee? Because you probably do follow a lot of players, right, for your duties and stuff like that?
What do you mean?
Like, you follow them.
Yeah.
But
if they've blocked you, then you can't.
Oh, you can't eat. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Tough, man. Tough. But you got the grudge blocks in.
You know, I return serve, so it feels like we're on an even playing field.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure. All right. I don't got anything for that one.
Okay. Final one.
Rappaport was also my answer. Trey just reminded me.
Hey, from Nova Scotia. We're going to wrap up or this podcast up with this last email. Hey, from Nova Scotia. My wife and I are huge fans, longtime listeners, and second-time emailers. We're expecting our first child in April, and we're recently on a drive out of town to pick up our first car seat. As we do on all our drives together, we popped in a No Dunks classic. I guess we popped on a No Dunks classic. You don't pop in a tape to listen to No Dunks, do you? As we cruise the icy back roads with our heated seats on high, we heard JD mention that he knows tons of people with fish tattoos. Although some of the gang seemed surprised, yeah, we did. Both of us were thinking to ourselves, doesn't everyone know a bunch of people with fish tattoos? Well, then in a moment of sheer surprise and happiness, we heard JD mention that his wife is from Nova Scotia. Being the proud Nova Scotians we are, we immediately turned to each other and screamed, "What?" Aside from the odd Matty D shout-out when the Raps bang home a three-pointer, we don't often hear Nova Scotia mentioned on our favorite content. So this was a moment of pure joy and surprise. My question for you guys is, when was a time that you were completely surprised to learn about something that you didn't know about one of your favorite celebrities? Sorry for the long yarn from the land of lobster, lighthouses, and bagpipes. May your wedgies stick tight and your beef stay big. Hello. Much love from Andrew and Brenna. Wow. From Nova Scotia, Canada, the beautiful province of Nova Scotia. Has anybody ever been there other than
no,
JD?
No, I haven't. I desperately want to go. I've never east in Canada, but I would like to. JD, is there any truth to this? Like, has everybody got fish tattoos out there?
I mean, a few, yeah, absolutely. There's lots of fishermen. But, you know, my wife's father was a fisherman for many years. He was a scallop guy, but... And so he actually doesn't have any fish on his body, but he does have like sailor-y tattoos, which,
right.
You know, sort of prison-y a little bit, you know?
Right.
And he has a very unfortunate, his name's Kurt, and he has his name in cursive on his forearm, and it doesn't look like Kurt.
Does not look like Kurt.
No, it does not.
Hey, that fine script, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, people are into their, you know, they're into their, you know, I'm sure there's podcasters out there that have mic tattoos, you know, microphone tattoos and stuff. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I just love we're talking fish here with our final email. We hooked him at the beginning of this podcast. And we hooked him at the end, baby. They ain't going anywhere. We're reeling them in all show. Okay, I'll go first with my answer. A time I was completely surprised to learn about something that I didn't know about one of my favorite celebrities. Now, favorite. Okay, I'm embellishing a little bit there with throwing favorite in here. But you said holding serve, Lily. You reminded me of Andre Agassi. And, you know, he was the man, right, Lee? Andre Agassi was cool when I was growing up. You know, like as a kid, getting into my, 10, 11, 12, 13. When was Agassi at his peak? Was that have been like what year? Like 92 or stuff like that?
92. He won Wimbledon in 92. Yeah. But then he did the Michael Jordan. He took about 18 months off. And then he came back in 95. I think he won the Australian Open in 95. I think he's a seven-time Grand Slam winner. But, he brought that grungy style to the tennis court. I mean, that's why he didn't play at Wimbledon for a couple of years there, because they insist on you wearing all white. And he was like, no.
Stupid. He's like, screw.
Yeah, he held a grudge. He held
a
grudge.
He was a bad boy. He was a bad boy. It was great. I loved him. Okay, so that's perfect. The timeline fits. I was like, yeah, when he was like on the cover of Sports Illustrated, it would have been like 12, 13, 14, stuff like that. Anyway, I was a fan, even if I wasn't the biggest tennis fan in the world. I was like, obviously a fan of him. And then... years later, I guess, where are we getting at? 2001, I meet Nora. We start dating. We become a thing. We're still together. And I find out, because she's Armenian, Armenian-Canadian, that Andre Agassi is Armenian. Uh-huh. I had no idea, and I was so happy. I was just, like, absolutely ecstatic by that. And, like, I'm not Armenian, but because I'm married to an Armenian, you know, I feel, like, 5% Armenian. And I talk, obviously, all the time about... my Armenian father-in-law and all the uncles watching basketball and stuff like that. They're big basketball fans. But you find out someone's Armenian, like, you're all in. You're like, yes, all right, sweet. Andre Agassi, that's a great one. So I was very happy to learn that. I was very surprised and happy to learn that he was Armenian. Did you know that, Lee?
No, I just assumed it was an Italian sort of name there, Agassi. But I guess not. 2001 was a great year to meet Nora too there, because he won the Australian Open. He beat the Frenchman Arnaud Clément in the final, but the real big one was
still going at
2000. Oh, that's the thing. I think he won like the 2002 US Open. Dude, 2001, 2002, of course, was the Leighton Hewitt Andre Agassi game that I was at with the Allen Iversons.
Right.
2001 in Australia, he was going up against the hometown hero Patrick Rafter in the semifinals. It was a five setter. Patrick should have beaten him, but he couldn't do it. And then
hold on. Are you looking at something right now? Or are you pulling this out of your?
I remember because I was back. back in Australia in 2001 for the Australian Open. And yeah, Agassi was cool. Bit of a dick, but also pretty cool.
Yeah,
he was
bad
at that
boy.
Fine
he's a bad
line.
Boy, man. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He's a basketball fan too, actually. He's a big basketball fan. So trying to get him on Poppin' Packs, as it turns out, but not having much luck. So, but I'm still working
at least
that channel.
He hasn't blocked you, has he?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No.
He could still
no.
return that tweet to you?
Well, that was his strength, return of serve. I mean, a brilliant return of serve. He's only like 5'10". And some of those big guys on the court.
There's not
you know,
a lot of tall service. Armenians out there. Like,
no.
There's some. All right, that's my answer. What do you got, Lee?
Oh, man, where do I go from here? Andre Agassi. Speaking of tennis, then, while we're on
no
the
way
tennis,
to top that.
I think his father is Armenian, yeah.
While we're on the tennis
yeah, it's
topic.
It's in the chat, yeah. Andre Agassian is apparently their actual last name. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. I did not know that. While we're on tennis talk, you know, Roger Federer, you know, maybe the greatest tennis player of all time, also a big cricket fan. He's very familiar with cricket and the game and understands. I think he spent some time as a kid growing up in Australia too, I think. I believe that happened. But he understands cricket. So because often when, you know, these tennis players and international athletes come to Australia, they're not very familiar with like Australian rules football and not even as much cricket as well. So it was great to see that Roger Federer, not just as like, oh yeah, I'm in Australia, I love cricket, actually understands the game, knows a little bit about it. So,
cool.
And when Australia have toured England during the summer, it's also when Wimbledon is on. So sometimes they catch up there as well. So yeah, there you go, tennis.
So has he ever been seen at a cricket match, Federer in the field?
I mean, I haven't seen him there, no. But he's probably in one of those. You know, he's probably in the box. I don't think he's not in Bay 13 having a few beers with the boys. You know, doing the Merv Hughes stretches. Remember when we did that time? When oh, look at that one.
Oh yeah.
Someone just played three sets there, right?
put
his arms up and
put that on the No Dunks nice, Top Shot collection. Yeah.
Some pit stains there for you listeners on Lee.
I'm with you, Lee. I got
some
yeah.
white good
ones
one too.
There too.
Oh, you got the purple
shirt
too.
Yeah, nice.
All right.
Nice.
Tassis, do you have an answer for a surprise with a celebrity that you were happy to learn?
Well, my news gal, Rachel Maddow, the best in the business, her mother is Canadian, is actually from the east coast of Canada as well, from Newfoundland.
Wow.
Rachel Maddow's mom is from Newfoundland. Her mother's father's cousins, girlfriend's sons. No, I'm just kidding. Her mom's from Newfoundland. I was pleasantly surprised for sure. So I was very, very cool. She's the best in the business. Not sure if her mom has a fish tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Rachel Minnow.
she's actually big into fishing. Like, that's her main pastime.
Oh, you are so right.
Who? Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow, She talks about it all the time.
Totally.
And Skeets, James Adomian, also Armenian. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay,
he's,
all right.
A huge advocate for obviously the Armenian people and stuff like that on Twitter. I do follow him, but you're right. Cher, also Armenian. That surprises people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that gets some people.
Yeah,
I can keep going if you want, but.
Yeah,
what's her real
there's
name?
A few more. There's a couple more out there.
I actually can't. I got to look them up.
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, well, the Kardashian.
Classic.
Knows that. Jeez.
Sherilyn.
System of a Down.
System of a Down. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. These are the ones I've picked up being friends with you for a decade. Yeah. It just comes up in casual conversation.
There are like a couple really good ones. Like I'm drawing a blank right now. But anyway.
Sherilyn Sharkissian is Cher's real name.
There it is. Trey, do you have an answer to this final question here on the beach?
Yeah, back to tennis. Because Skeets, when you started talking Agassi, the whole setup... I didn't think it was going to end that you found out that Andre Agassi was Armenian, which, I mean, is pretty interesting for you and your family, no doubt about it. But I thought the answer was going to be that Andre Agassi was playing in a wig for, like, a long part of his career. This guy was playing in a straight-up wig? He won Wimbledon in a wig. Isn't that right, Lee?
Well, he had the long hair when he won it in 92, and he had the hat on. He definitely wore a hat because he was going bald. And then when he came back from his sort of, his hiatus, he had the... what do you call it? No, not a bandana.
He did. He wore like a Nike bandana, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah.
A little bit.
And then he kind of... Then
so
he
what,
just
the
kinda...
hair was attached to the hat? The hair was attached to the bandana?
Yeah, it was not a good look, actually, for a guy who was, considered cool. It was like, he's putting that hat on to cover up. But then he just kind of let it go because at the end of his career, he was bald as anything. Yeah. In fact, I remember one day in Melbourne, it was a stinking hot Melbourne summer's day and he had no hat on. And people were like, are you crazy? You should have a hat on out there. Slip, slop, slap, Andre. Put the sunscreen on, you know. He didn't sunburn either. So I don't know how he did that. That's actually quite a miracle. But
miracle.
That's a miracle. Yeah.
All right. So that's your answer.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. That he was playing in a wig. I mean, that Trey, like, that's like 100% confirmed. Like, he said, yeah, I was wearing a wig. Like,
I thought that
yeah.
was true.
Okay, well,
yeah, he said that he lost the French Open because he was wearing a wig. I don't understand. In the French Open, he was in the final. A fiasco happened. The evening before the match, I stood under the shower and suddenly my wig fell apart. Probably because I used the wrong hair rinse. I panicked and called my brother Philly into the room. It's a total disaster, I said to him. He had to clip it on with 20 clips to go and play the French Open in 1990. That's pretty crazy stuff. Can you imagine an NBA player in the finals running around with a wig on? No.
Yeah. Well, nuts. Carlos Boozer had the...
That's the closest.
Yeah. Yeah, could 1990. Have, like, gotten his eyes or something. Wow. But, okay, so did he... Did he ever have natural long locks, or was this always like he just decided one day I want to have that, and then of course he started to win, and then his popularity took off, and his whole look, and it became a part of him. Like,
little chicken. I don't know now. Here. I yeah, don't. Yeah,
no, I know. Gotta read the book.
What, was he actually even Armenian? Oh my god!
What's his name? Andre.
Wow, Andre. Okay. Let's end it there. That was fun. Guys, thanks for stepping on the beach with us. Keep your emails coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com to email them in. You can leave them in the YouTube comments. Tweet them in if you want, @NoDunksInc. Shout out to the stream team once again for joining us live here. Shout out to anybody watching this a little bit later on YouTube. And, of course, all you listeners, we love you too. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Helps us out in terms of rankings. We would really appreciate that. Grab your No Dunks merch, nodunks.com, and subscribe to The Athletic if you haven't. $3.99 a month. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks and you can get all the podcasts ad-free and you get the best damn sports rating in the world. It's just a hell of a deal. $3.99. It's like you're not going to watch 3D movies, so save that money. Spend it on a great Athletic subscription. Bobo's your uncle. Okay, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the most important part of a podcast are the last 10 seconds. I hope you really enjoyed this last line.
Brace the day, people. You could stay.